you for this opportunity to be together in the house of God. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a house of worship where we can come together and meet with you. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we pray, God, just for your blessing over this time. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work in this hour, Lord, in our lives. We pray, Lord, for an anointing, Lord, over this word this morning, that you would speak into our lives. Lord, we ask you for revelation. We ask you, Lord, that you would make these things real in our lives. Not that we leave this place with more head knowledge, but, Lord, that we leave this place knowing you more. Lord, we pray for that anointing this morning over the word. I ask, Lord, for that anointing to preach and to teach as you desire. And, Lord, we all ask for that anointing to hear and receive what the Spirit is speaking this morning. And, Lord, we ask it in the precious holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen. In John chapter 12, one of the most prolific verses in the Bible spoken by the Lord Jesus is in verse number 46. I want to read this verse and I want to share with you something this morning. God has called you to be in the light. How many of you know that God has called you to let your light shine? Amen. We love that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine," right? But the reality is a lot of times we don't feel like shining. Can I get a witness? Amen. Sometimes we feel like not shining. And sometimes we don't feel very shiny at all. But you see, the light's not your light. It's the light of God in you. You see, this is the amazing thing about Christianity. It's not about what you do. It's about what God does in you. Can I get a witness? One of the things that we see in this verse, in verse number 46, Jesus says this. He said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Now, the darkness that the Lord Jesus is talking about is not like whenever the lights go out. He's not talking about we had the storm that came by. Nobody in Bossier City had electricity. We were all using flashlights and generators and candles. And Jesus is not talking about that kind of light. But it is a spiritual darkness. There's a lot of people that have a whole lot of electricity in their homes, but they don't have any light from God in their homes. There's a lot of people that have a whole lot of chandeliers and flashlights, and they have camping lights, and they have headlights, and they have all kinds of things, but they don't have the light of God in their life. And we've all been in a place like that where we were wandering, where we were spiritually in darkness. We might have had things going on for us in the world. Things might have even gotten better for us. We might have got a promotion. We might have got more money. We might have gotten that relationship. We might have gotten that job or that car. But the reality is there was something missing on the inside. We were broken on the inside, and those things never brought fulfillment because we were in spiritual darkness. The sad reality is there's many people in darkness today. Hopefully none that are in this room, but the world lies in darkness today when it is not in Jesus. There are many people today that are alive and they will smile on the outside, but on the inside they are lost as a duck. They don't know their left from their right, their up from their down. They don't know whether they should go run away, or they don't know whether they should jump off a bridge. They don't know what to do with their life. They're broken and they're lost. And if we're honest, we've all been in places like that where we didn't have the answers. And that spiritual darkness is what we're talking about. And Jesus said, if you believe on him, you should not abide in that darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a believer, and there are times my lights went out in the natural, but praise be to God, no matter what situation I've been in, no matter how hard the road has gotten, no matter how deep the waters have been, in every situation and in every circumstance that I've been in, since I've been a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has provided light along the path. I may not know why I'm having to go down this road. I may not know when this road's going to go on a different path. But I know this, he provides light for my every move. He said, if you believe on me, if you believe on me, he said, you should not abide in darkness. The word abide here, now we know what the word means in the natural, but I want you to think about what it means in the spiritual. It's when somebody can't get out of the darkness. When you abide in darkness, it means you stay there, you remain there. No matter what somebody says or does, I don't know about you. But I've been in a place in my life when I was in my sin. And people would tell me, you're going to go to hell. You need to stop. You need to come out of that. You need to come to Jesus. You need to get right with the Lord. They would even tell me, you need some religion, son. And it went in one ear and out the other because I was abiding in darkness. I was remaining there. And I stayed there until the Spirit of God arrested my heart. Until I heard an anointed message of God, and it was on time, it was precise, and like the anointing of God, it broke off those shackles, and it broke off those chains that had been bound over my heart. And I want you to know, God wants to do that for the world today. You see, what our world needs today is not a unified message from Republicans and Democrats. We don't need a new political leader. We need the light of God in our lives. We need the light of God in our homes. We need the light of God in our families. We need the light of God in our church again. We need the light of God in this nation. This is what we need. We cannot allow the enemy to dictate the terms. See, the enemy wants you to dictate Republican, Democrat. We need more money. We need less taxes. We need more laws. We need less laws. We need more of this and we need less of that. But that's the wrong battle. That'll keep you in darkness. It is the light of Jesus Christ that we need in our lives. And only God can turn on the lights. You know, sometimes we're in those dark places. We're in those dark places, and if you're not careful, you'll stop abiding in Jesus, and you'll start abiding in darkness. You'll forget who you are and what God has called you to do. You know, one time I had a dog named Rex, and he was one of those that had, like, I don't know how many different kinds he was. He was just a mixed dog, but he was awesome. He was a runaway that my sister had found at the lake, and I liked him, so we took him home. He didn't have a home, so we took him home. And this dog, I never one time in my life hit this dog. But I kid you not, if I ever picked up a rake or a shovel or a hoe or a broom or anything like that, this dog would cower down and run away from me. To the day he died, he would always run when you picked up a rake or a shovel. You see, something had happened to him in his past. And no matter how good I treated him, no matter how much I loved him, no matter how much I cared for him, he was remaining in that dark place. Now, we know he's a dog. He doesn't have the same kind of conscience as us. He doesn't understand. But I'm trying to get you to see something. Sometimes in our lives, we can go through situations, and no matter how good God is, and no matter how good God has been to you, and no matter how faithful God is, he said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No, not ever. He said he's the chain breaker, right? He's the way maker, right? He's the light of the world, right? And no matter what situation we go through, no matter how dark the days are, we cannot allow the situations of our past to cause us to cower and to run and to depend on the flesh in the times of trial. See, God's been faithful to me. He's never let me down. Have I let him down? Sure. Have I had to repent? Yeah. But you know what? God's never let me down. God's never turned his back on me. God's always been there for me, and he was waiting on me to come back to my senses. He was waiting on me to come back to faith. He was waiting on me to get back on my knees. He was waiting on me to come back. But you see, whenever we abide in darkness, right, we begin to act like the world. And just like that dog Rex, he was abiding in that painful past. And whenever that rake got picked up, he was remembering that. He wasn't remembering how good I had treated him. You see, we go through situations in life, and in those trials, in those testing times, in those hardship moments, you can do one of two things. You can respond in the natural and in the flesh, or you can remember your faithful God. You can remember that He's never going to leave you. He's never left you one moment. He's never going to leave you. Amen? He's still the way maker. He's still the one that breaks those shackles and chains. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter how hard my hardship is, God forbid that I depend on the arm of my flesh instead of my God. God is calling us to come back to that place to where we look to Him and not respond in the flesh. And I tell you, I loved that dog Rex, but I mean, every time I picked up a rake, he would respond in the flesh. I mean, he cowered down like a beaten dog. Whoever had him before must have whooped him good. Because to the day he died, he always responded in the flesh every time I picked up a rake. And you know, I sometimes think about that and I'm like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm not smarter than a dog. And sometimes I think, you know, sometimes those hardships and those trials come to me. Lord, don't let me respond in the flesh. Lord, keep me from me. I need You in me, right? It's not me trying to do something. I need the light of God in me. I need God in me. You know, never forget, it says that the hope of glory is Christ in you. It is not about you finding religion and you turning over a new leaf and you learning how to speak a new language. It's about someone else living on the inside. That's what Christianity is. It is about you being born a second time and now someone else residing within. Paul said, nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me. It's not me living in me no more. I've done surrendered that, and now there's someone new. But you see, when we go through trials and hardships, let somebody call you a bad name, let somebody not say thank you, let somebody fire you, right? Go through those trials financially. Go through those trials in relationships when someone cheats on you and someone turns their back on you. And sometimes the people that you love the most can hurt you the worst. That's why they say church hurts like no other, because it's the people that you love the most. And those things happen. But God has called you to not respond in the flesh. God has called you to respond in the light of God. Amen? This is what darkness is. Darkness is life without God. How many of you remember those days? Life without God is when you're apart from Him. It's when you're living in rebellion to Him. That's what spiritual darkness is. It's when you're wandering aimlessly all around. The proverbial, there's a hole in your heart. It's God-shaped, and only God can fill it. And unless God does the work in you, you will wander aimlessly from relationship, to job, to hobby, because you're unfulfilled on the inside, because you're empty and devoid of God. And until we come to God in a spirit of humility and allow God to do what He needs to do in us, we will remain wandering aimlessly. But I want you to know, God doesn't want that for you. He loves you, but He doesn't want that for you. You see, God gives you free will. We don't serve a Calvinistic God who determines your every move. He gives you the choice of life or death, blessing or curses. He allows you to choose Him or to reject Him. That's what true love is. True love doesn't force someone to love someone, does it? True love invites someone. True love opens the door to someone and exposes themselves. And God has opened that door to you and He has welcomed you in. But so long as we live life apart from God, without God, in rebellion to God, we will wander aimlessly through this journey. But God has opened the door for you because he loves you. Amen. You may think like me. You may be like, man, I'm not good at this. Well, welcome to reality, right? There's none good but God, but we serve a good God. Amen. And he does good things. And if you'll humble yourself, he'll do a good thing in you. Amen. That's who our God is. Amen. So God wants you to no more abide in darkness. Darkness is when life is limited. When you're abiding in darkness, this is what you're limited to. You are limited to responding like the world when you're in darkness. You let adversity come, right? And you're going to respond in the flesh during adversity. Well, I've had it up to here with you. I'm out of here. I thank God he never said that to me. You know, I gave God plenty of opportunities to say, I've had it up to here with you, son. I'm done with you. But God never did that to me. And if the Spirit of God's in me, then I'm not going to do that to someone else. Got quiet. I'm not going to look at someone and say, I've had it up to here with you. You know why? Because it's Jesus inside me. It's the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart, according to Romans 5:5. It's not my love. I don't love my wife with my love. I don't love you with my love. According to Romans 5:5, it is the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart abundantly by the Holy Ghost. That's what God has called you to love with. That's how you love some that are unlovable. That's how you forgive those that stabbed you in the back. That's how Jesus, when he was hanging on that cross and he was bleeding out as he had that crown of thorns on his head and they were ridiculing him and crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The exact opposite of the world. You think somebody in politics would have that kind of love for someone on the other side of the aisle? The only time they walk on the other side of the aisle is so they can compromise to make some law. Not to say, you know what? What you're doing is wrong, but I forgive you. I love you. That's the Spirit of God. Now, in our flesh, we respond certain ways. I've seen that too many times. I saw that as a child. I've had it up to here with you. I'm done. I've seen people that I thought were supposed to love each other all their life walk away from each other and rip a family apart. I've seen brokenness. I've seen the trauma that it brings. And every time we respond in the same way, and when we respond in the flesh, when we respond in the natural, we bring brokenness and not healing. One of the other things that happens when you're abiding in the darkness is you begin to reason like the world. I know why they ain't called me, because they don't love me. Then you let them call you. I know why they call me. They need some money. See, when you're abiding in darkness, you don't have the mind of Christ anymore. You have what we call stinking thinking. Thinking like the world. Acting like the world, right? It's the devil that's planting those thoughts. You know why they haven't called you? Probably because they're busy. What I always tell people is, if you're mad at me for not calling you, I got news for you. The phone works two ways. If you miss me, call me, right? That's all it takes. My phone's on my cards. You don't have my number, you can get it real quick. I'm not exclusive, right? So, but the reality is this, is that when we're abiding in darkness, we begin to think like the world. And this is a warning. God is giving you a warning. If you are reasoning and responding like the world, it could be that you today are abiding in darkness when you're not supposed to be. Oh, Yes, you can abide in darkness. It's a warning because God don't want you to remain there. Last thing that happens whenever you're abiding in darkness is your expectations are worldly. Right? One of the saddest experiences I've had since I've been saved was a time I had in church. Quite a few sad times in church. But I was in a church one time and we were at the front. We were supposed to pray with people for the new year. What you want us to pray about? I'm thinking deliverance, salvation of my son, restoration in my grandchild's marriage. I'm thinking along these lines. Time after time after time, the people that came up, what were they after? Worldly expectations. New car. Bigger house. Promotion. Worldly expectations. You know, God tells us not to worry about those things, doesn't he? He said the world will worry about those things. We've got a higher agenda in life than to worry about promotions and cars and houses. We've got a higher agenda in life. Our agenda is God's agenda. We're supposed to be expanding the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be expanding his kingdom, his world, not ours. The expectation of the world is, well, it's the American dream. Well, the American dream and God's vision for your life may not be the same. May not be the same. In fact, in order for you to fulfill the call of God on your life, if it don't cost you something, and I'm not talking about your money, so hang on to your wallet, but if God has called you and it don't cost you something, there's a problem in paradise, sweetheart. There is a problem in paradise if the call of God has no cost. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and come after me. What does that cost you? Praying a prayer and going on the same way? Deny yourself? My wants? My felt needs. You know, I really don't feel love today. Well, thank God I'm not moved by feelings. Thank God I'm standing on faith. Amen. Not feelings. I thank God that truth is greater than facts. You can think about that. But our expectations will change when we're abiding in the light, not in the darkness. My goal in life is different now. If your goal in life is the same as it was before you knew God, you need to go back to the drawing board. Your expectations change when you're in the light. Your way of reasoning changes when you're in the light. The way that you respond to situations change when you're walking in the light. We've gone through adversity in this church. This congregation has gone through adversity, but it is God's light that has navigated us through the night. And it is God's light that will continue to help you and navigate you through the situations you go through. God will not leave you without light in any situation or circumstance. He's a good shepherd, isn't he? He's a good shepherd, isn't he? Now turn with me to, turn with me in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show you something here. I'm not going to belabor this point, but I want to show you this. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to show you verse number 8. We're going to start connecting a couple of dots. I remember those times in darkness, and I mean, it was hopeless. I've never been as hopeless as when I didn't know God. But if you're a child of God and you're without hope today, I'm telling you, it could be because you're abiding in darkness. You may say, well, How is this possible? Let me show you this. Verse number 8, Ephesians 5. It says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now, somebody say now. But now are you light in the Lord. And then there's a command. Walk as children of light. Now that's the command. You have information in there. It says, you know what? Now as a child of God, you're light in the Lord. So that shows you it's not your light. It's not you doing things better. It's not you turning over a new leaf. As Charles Spurgeon said, you know, Jesus didn't come to give us better manners. He came to make us new people. But it's not our light. Your light is in Jesus. That's where the light comes from. He is the light of the world. And what I want you to see in this is that's the information, but there's a little colon there. Then there's the command, walk as children of light. That tells you that there are people that are children of God who are not walking like they should walk. And what that means is now you've shifted over. You're kind of in that. How many of you been in that place where you've been pulled in two different directions? You want to do this, but duty calls you to do that. In a bind. Candle burning on both ends. You're in a situation where you feel like you're in the middle of a tug of war. You never been in that till you have two kids arguing about something, right? One of them's got to get the hardship. I just try to pop both their bubbles. Let them both be sad. But this verse is telling us that as children of God, we are light in the Lord. But there are times that we don't walk that way. That means that we're reasoning like the world, responding like the world, and expecting things like the world. This is darkness. This will lead you down a path of despair. This will take you down a road. God, listen to me, this will take you down a road that God doesn't want you to go. It is possible for you to walk in a direction God doesn't want you to walk in. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. Jesus is the light of the world, and you are light in him. What that shows in that relationship, there's an abiding principle there. That means as you are in Jesus and Jesus is in you, there's light along the journey. But when you begin to turn away from that relationship, when you begin to turn away from that place of abiding, in Psalm 91, David calls it the secret place. When you begin to turn away from being in that secret place with God, where it's you and God and no other, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, you go into your prayer closet and you shut the door. You don't have to broadcast on Facebook when you pray. You don't have to tell your friends when you pray. You need to tell God, you need to go in that prayer closet, shut the door, and get alone and get right with God. God can do for a man or a woman in a prayer closet what no preacher or psychologist or drug or any other thing can do. God can change someone. He can change our attitudes, our thoughts, our heart. He can change the direction of our life. He can change our destiny if we'll just get alone and get with God and get right with him. But we've got to take that time to get into that prayer closet. If you don't have that time in the secret place with God, you'll never be in this place where God wants you to be. You'll continue to abide in darkness. You'll continue to follow the reasoning, responses, and expectations of the world, going down a path that God doesn't want you to go down. Now we got to get real. This has all been the warm-up. Turn with me to John chapter 15. This message is going to be two parts. I believe the second part is going to be pretty dynamic if you'll hang with us tonight. But I got to get this part. Abiding. Now, Jesus had said in that previous chapter that if you are in him, you will not abide in darkness. You remember that? You will not. Now, I go down dark roads. Sometimes I get in situations that I don't know, but I know who does. I always tell people my favorite part of pastoring is I don't have to know every answer to every question. I got to know who the answer is. Right? Who's the answer? Jesus is the answer. Amen. Now, that's simplistic. Well, it is, but it's true. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Amen. So whatever way you tell someone to go, if it's not to Jesus, you lying. Whatever truth you posit to somebody, let me see. If your truth doesn't start at the cross, you're lying. And whatever you do, if it doesn't produce spiritual life from death, that's where the rubber meets the road. You can talk the talk all you want, but at some point, those legs got to get to walking. We used to raise chickens, and we had all those eggs, and we would have them we had that little heat lamp on them, and sometimes those chickens would never hatch. You with me? Sometimes they would. But those ones that never hatched, they didn't have life. They were an egg, but they never had life. And you see, you can talk the talk all you want, but at some point, that egg's got to hatch, that chicken. It's got to come out and start walking and flapping its wings and yapping. At some point, you've got to walk the walk. Life has to come forward. He's the life. And if he's in you, life's going to be coming out of you. And I've been in situations, I remember to this day standing next to the hole where they were going to be placing my mom, 6 feet in the ground. And I had joy running over. I knew where she was. But I had the presence of God on me in an inexplainable way. And everybody else is crying, and I've just got the joy of the Lord. It was just the grace of God. I know what his grace feels like. I knew at that moment, I was like, somebody's praying for me, because this ain't natural. This ain't natural. Because I was a mama's boy. But what I'm trying to get you to see is there was something in there. There was life in a situation where there should be despair. You see, in our lives, we will go into situations where there is darkness. We will go into situations of the valley. But I praise God so much that he's the same God on the mountain and the hilltop as he is in the valley. He's the same God on my good days as my bad days. He's the same God when I have and when I have not. He gives and he takes away. Still my heart will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So in every situation, he is the way, the truth, and he is the life of the believer. And if you don't have that life, that egg needs to hatch. John chapter 15, verse 1. He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God's looking not that you just hang on. How many of you feel like you're just hanging on right now? Okay. Be honest. Look, come on, man. You in church. Sometimes we feel like we're just hanging on. But when a branch begins to bear fruit, it ain't just hanging on. That vine gets stronger. It gets more green. It gets bigger. It starts producing more. More begins to come out of it. But the life's not in it. The life's in the source of it. You see, God's looking for that in you. God hasn't given us a just hold on faith. Amen. God didn't say, you know what? All right, you just sit tight, hold out till the rapture. Hunker down and hold on. Then we'll have liftoff. No. No, he said, you abide in me, and I in you. You'll bear fruit. Right? He said, God will purge you if you're a fruit bearer. If you're not a fruit bearer, he will cut you off. Today, you're either going to be being cut off or being purged. There's no third option. Well, this isn't fun. Life is fun. Purging's not fun, but more fruit flows from the purge. Has God purged me since I first believed? You better believe it. We call it correction. Come on, somebody. You know, if you knew it all at the beginning, you wouldn't need to be purged, would you? But God knows it all. And as you abide in him, he'll start purging so that more life flows into you. The purging's not fun, but the fruit flows from the purge. So there's things that God will cut out of your life. I commend you today because you cut something out of your life to come to church. There are some people that couldn't bypass the opportunity to watch reruns of Wheel of Fortune. They could have cut that out of their life to make time for God, but you did. You purged something to get to the house of God. But this is a one-moment time. This is a once-a-week opportunity. When we're talking about abiding in Christ and abiding in the vine, we're talking about a all-the-time thing. Cutting whatever is not of God out. If it doesn't bring more fruit, then it might need to go. Are you with me? I hope I didn't lose you there. Don't be taking away my Wheel of Fortune, Pastor. I can have my cake and eat it too. Take it up with God, right? Let's continue in. It says in verse 3, Jesus said this. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot, somebody say cannot with me, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will not abide in darkness. Now there's an invitation, abide in me and I in you. See, you're going to abide in one of two things. You're going to abide in the world, or you're going to abide in Jesus. And the promise with the world is this. If you abide in darkness, guess what's coming in? Come on. If you abide in the world, the world's coming in. See, it's a problem. You're supposed to be in that boat. in the world, but not of the world. But it's a problem when the world starts coming into the boat. That's where the problem is. And when you abide in darkness, it don't work that way where you can just make a clean cut all the time. When you begin to live in the world, act like the world, respond like the world, reason like the world's done calmed in to you. Now you're in a perilous situation. But when you turn and you come to Jesus and you begin to abide in him, you have two promises here before you today. Not only will you now no longer abide in darkness, but he said, when you abide in me, I'll abide in you. Come on, somebody. Amen. I am not alone anymore. Amen. Amen. It's no longer me trying to figure this out and me trying to hold on and me trying to navigate through a situation and me just trying to hold it together. Now I've got someone abiding in me. Now the strength doesn't come from me, but the strength comes from the Lord. Now the light doesn't come from me, but I am light in the Lord. Now we know where our hope comes from. And there's only two choices before you today, the world or Jesus. As a whole old hymn says, take this world, but give me Jesus. Take this world. You can have it. You can have all of it, but give me that man. Give me my Jesus. Give me the one that died for me. Give me the one that bought me with his own blood. Give me the one that removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. Give me the one that gave me hope. Give me the one that gave me new life. Give me the one that loved me, sought me, and bought me. Not with blood of goats and heifers, not with gold and silver, but with his own sacrificed blood, he bought me. Give me that man. You take the world, it's rotten. They shine it up good. They can put Sherwin-Williams paint on it. They can put potpourri in it, but it ain't no good. Amen. Amen. Ever since sin entered into the garden, it has been on a downward spiral, and today it is spiraling out of control. Take the world. Give me Jesus. Let me close in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No more night. I want to tell you something. There's no amount of darkness that God cannot expel out of your life. You don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. I'm not in your shoes. I'm not. But I know what God said. He said, if you abide in him, if you believe on him, you will not abide in darkness. So I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes, and I love you, but you don't know what it's like to be in mine. But we both know Jesus. And you know what our world needs today? Our world needs to hear this. Our world's looking for political answers, and it's going to run to an antichrist. Our world is looking for solutions that come from men. But you have the only solution possible, Jesus. But I don't know about you, but there's times when I feel like I'm overwhelmed. There's times as pastor of the church, I'm like, Lord, what do I do? Between a rock and a hard place. Nobody understands. Nobody knows what it's like. But God does. And you know, God loves you, friend. He truly loves you. He knows your past. He knows your faults. He knows your failures. He's not throwing it up in front of your face. He's saying, come unto me. All you who are weary, heavy laden, he'll give you rest. Rest for your weary soul. Rest for that long, hard road. Yes, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know the attacks. I don't know the stress, the anxiety, the depth of the darkness, but God does. God does. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, in closing. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, that never made me feel good when somebody said that. Like when you're going through a hard time and they go, oh, I know what that's like. And you're like, no, you don't. You don't know what it's like. You know, that's our flesh. Our flesh wants to be the wounded warrior. You don't know what it's like. But God said, there's nothing that's going on in you that's not common to man. Got people that rejected you, people that stabbed you in the back, temptations, trials, testings. There's absolutely nothing that can come to you that is not common to man. In other words, your brothers and sisters in the Lord go through the same trials. We remember the Hall of Fame of Faith over in the book of Hebrews. These are people that overcame by faith. God has called you to be an overcomer too. It says, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer, that means allow, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Hold up. Who's the way? He said he'd make a way for you, didn't he? He's a way-making God. You know, the devil, when you go through a trial, he'll give you a magnifying glass and make that trial look like Goliath. But I thank God for people in the Bible like David. It didn't matter how big Goliath was. He knew how big his God was. You see, the situation may be, you know, imposing itself upon you. The situation may be, I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, you can't come to God like that. You don't come to God with preconditions. Well, I'll serve you as long as I can get that promotion and I can. No, no. You come to God in surrender. You come to God and you say, Lord, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to that cross I cling. And exchange your life for mine. No condition except that. Surrender. And you see, when you get into a situation where the temptations are big and the trials are large and the darkness is dark, God is faithful. He will not allow you to have more than you can bear. But in that situation, he will make a way. There will be light in the night. You know, he took the nation of Israel. He was cloud by day and fire by night. Daniel got put in the lion's den, but the lions had no appetite that night. He didn't promise you a bed of roses, but he said, I'm faithful. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. This morning, God's calling you to come. God's calling you to come. Say, Lord, I'm in a trial. I'm in a temptation today. You said you would make a way. How many of you know whenever Moses brought the nation of Israel out, all they saw was the Red Sea? God foresaw dry land where there was water. In the natural, if you're responding, reasoning, and expecting in the natural, you won't see the way of escape. But if you'll come to God and ask Him to open your eyes, soften your heart, open your ears, God will come and He'll show you the way. He'll show you the way. He is the way. Father, we thank You for this morning and this opportunity to be in the house of God. I thank You for each and every person here today. Lord, I pray for Your anointing, O God, in this place. Lord, You know our trials. You know our issues. Lord, we just declare by faith, we know You're the answer. And we ask, and Lord, this day, this morning, Lord, that You would part the Red Sea. Lord, that You would remove the Goliaths. Lord, that we would be no more in darkness, but that we would have Your light. Oh God, I pray this morning, God, that You would make Yourself real to the hurting heart right now that feels alone. Maybe even feels ashamed. Lord, we curse shame in the name of Jesus. Curse it. Lord, I thank You that You call us to come. And Lord, I pray that Your people would hear Your call and receive life in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, God is speaking to your soul. I want you to come forward so that we can pray for you. If you're here this morning and you believe God's speaking to you, you can come and talk to Jesus directly at these altars. But either way, I ask you to take the initiative and respond to the hand of God this morning as He's reached out for you.